Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Come on. Welcome to Lifeblood. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome today's guest, strong and powerful Jen Berman. Jen, are you ready to do this?
I am.
All right. Jen is a JD. She is an MBA, a benefits compliance maven. She's a CEO of MZQ Consulting. They are the premier ACA reporting and benefits compliance boutique. I'm excited to have you on. Jen, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Oh, thank you. So I am a wife and mom, first and foremost. I have a wonderful 13-year-old son named Jack and an 11-year-old named Abby, who, you know, sort of are the reason I do everything that I do. But on the work side, I am an employee benefits attorney, which basically means that it is my job to help employers to really sort of comply with the dozens of various laws that impact their ability to attract and retain employees through their benefits programs. And we do that in lots of different ways. My company, MZQ Consulting, helps with Affordable Care Act compliance and also a whole lot of different requirements, things like plan documents and government filings. But most recently, the work that we have been doing has been in the area of mental health parity, which is very, very fulfilling because we are helping employers make sure their health plans are providing access to mental health care in ways that make sense and meet legal requirements. So a lot going on in the employee benefits world right now, and it's great because we get to help people every day.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate that. And you are working to help people implement programs that make sense, but also do not run afoul of different laws. I bet that's a fine line.
It can be, certainly. So the employee benefits is a very, very heavily regulated industry, much more so than people tend to realize. And that's because really employers are acting as fiduciaries when they set up benefit plans, which means it's their job to take on like a higher standard in helping to protect their employees. And that's a little bit different than the traditional employment relationship and carries with it a whole lot of responsibility. And so we are there to sort of help guide employers through what can be a really difficult maze sometimes.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Do you find yourself working and consulting with the actual employer themselves or the benefits provider, a little bit of both?
I think it's a little bit of both. So we definitely work very, very closely with providers and brokers and advisors in the space. They're typically the folks who come to us and bring us into the equation because that's, you know, that's the point of contact for employers. They go to their advisors, their brokers, to help guide them through everything having to do with their employee benefit plans. But sometimes things get thorny, and the employers really need us directly. And so we're lucky enough to be able to work sort of through those advisors and also directly with employers.
Got it. And are these laws and rules, are they governed at the state level, federal? Both?
Both is the short answer, although most of them are federal from my perspective. So health insurance, when you're buying an insurance product, those are regulated at the state level. But typically the states are regulating the insurance companies themselves. There's also this federal law called ERISA, which is the Employee Retirement Income Security Act. And it's from all the way back in 1974, long before there was Enron. There were other crises along, you know, with people's pension plans. And And the federal government got in on the act, and not just relative to retirement plans, which are kind of easy to wrap your head around, right? You've got other people's money, so you have to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
But also really anything that you're providing to employees. So their medical insurance, dental vision, life insurance, disability insurance, even pet insurance can be regulated by these federal rules in certain circumstances.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense. All right, so business is hard enough as it is. It is really hard to make a profit, and it's hard to then hire employees, and then all of a sudden a vaccine or a pandemic hits, and then vaccines come on the scene, and then the government says, not only are they here, but we're going to mandate that if you have more than XYZ employees, I think it's 100, that they have to get vaccinated or do weekly testing. I do not employ 100 plus people, but I mean, just the complexity of that and is it actually going to go into effect and how do I handle it? You must get this question 24,000 times a day.
I do indeed. It's been certainly the biggest topic of conversation for me really over the past couple of months, ever since the president announced it was coming in the beginning of September. And it's a doozy. You know, we're not sure as we're having this conversation yet, if it'll actually go into effect. It's been challenged in the federal courts. So we're waiting to see what happens there. I think ultimately it's going to get to the Supreme Court and they'll be the ones who decide. But in the meantime, employers really need to be acting to be in a position to comply with these rules. There's a very, very short timeline on them, and a lot that is being asked of employers. So you're absolutely right that ultimately the rule is, you know, you need to be vaccinated or tested on a weekly basis, but there's a whole lot of detail. And honestly, you know, this is a place where the devil's in the detail.
Mm-hmm.
So one example of that is that before you can do that, employers need to know if their employees are vaccinated at all. So, you know, that's step one, and that's required under the OSHA guidance by December 6th. And here's the thing about that. It's not as simple as just saying, hey, are you vaccinated? There is a requirement under the regulations, really an emergency temporary standard, but don't worry about that level of detail, that employers collect, you know, the vaccination status of their employees and actually the documentation of that vaccination status, so copies of cards or attestation under the penalty of perjury. But this is an example of a place where other laws come into play too. So that's medical information.
Right.
And there's a whole set of rules governing privacy of medical information. It's actually not HIPAA, although you can, you know, most people think it's medical information HIPAA. These rules are under the Americans with Disabilities Act. But either way, there's a whole lot of guidance that needs to be kept in a separate location and needs to be confidential and only certain folks in HR are allowed to see it. So employers don't typically collect high volumes of medical information from all of their employees. So when you think about something, you know, a law came out, they gave 30 days for employers to comply. And suddenly if you think about, you know, a huge national employer, even one that's at, you know, 100 employees, think about the logistics of training management, collecting the information, keeping it confidential. It's not simple. And it's ripe with opportunity for employers to get in trouble, particularly around something that's such a hot button issue in our society. But people feel very, very strongly about vaccines in both directions. And that just opens up a world of risk for employers and puts it squarely on their shoulders.
Thanks a lot, government.
I know. I spend most of my career, most of my day saying, please don't shoot the messenger. It wasn't my idea, guys.
Holy cow. Just the second order impacts of all of this. I mean, we can talk about, we're not going to, the second order impacts of COVID itself, but now, my goodness, yeah, I've got 100 employees that some are in the office and some are, maybe they're all virtual. And now I need to collect actual documentation that they have been vaccinated, and I need to do that in a way. Is there an agreed upon way that happens, or am I just sort of doing best practices? And is there an agreed upon way where or place where I store this, or is it again just a best practice?
So it's best practices. I mean, there's some rules around, you know, what to do if you can't get the vaccine card or alternative to vaccine card or things like that. But the actual methodology, you know, that's something that the employers kind of have to figure out on their own. Hmm. And so I've been spending, you know, the better part of the past couple of weeks having those conversations and vetting out, you know, vendors are out there launching solutions, and some of them will be fantastic, and others of them will forget one way or another. It's a really hard place to be. I have
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at the time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Had this conversation with one HR leader earlier this week, and honestly, she was just on the verge of tears. She's yeah. like, I just don't know what to do. Like, I just don't know what to do. She, you know, she was in the crosshairs between owners that didn't want to have to deal with it, and knowing that she had to comply and not having a resource allocated for it. It's just hard. Whatever you think of it from a, you know, political or a policy perspective, it's just hard on people to get it done.
Yeah, and as somebody, and I'm sure you're the same way, in fact, I can almost guarantee it, you're very cognizant of the value of your time and the value of your attention. And again, I'm not making a judgment on this one way or another, but the cost of hours and time, and then the opportunity cost of dedicating resources to complying with a rule that may never go into effect, I mean, I can't even quantify how much that must be.
It's huge, and it's interesting because really I think that the government knew that. So when you read the actual 480 odd pages that the actual guidance is, and they talk about the how you count to 100, because in my world, counting is always the question, right? How do I know if I've hit this threshold? 100 for this purpose includes the whole organization, including people who work from home full time, other related companies in certain cases. And it also includes part-time employees and treats them as like a whole person for purposes of counting to 100, which is not to just count part-time work, but not how we usually count things, right? And the reason that they state right in that guidance from OSHA is we think that if you have 100 employees, you're big enough to absorb this burden.
Wow.
You know, so the government's aware. But, you know, nonetheless, this is the decision that's been made.
That is super interesting. Okay. So I was wondering, I wonder why 100? And there you go.
You know? Yeah, so, and the policy, you know, it's an interesting piece here, and I want to take a minute because I think a lot of people are sort of confused as to why this is happening and what the court case is all about and stuff like that. But the Biden administration has been pretty clear that their goal here is to get as many people vaccinated as possible. And so the reason that we're seeing this come through as an employer-based mandate is because they believe that they have jurisdiction to do it. So under our constitutional system, sort of the way that it's set up, the federal government only has powers that are expressly given to it. And all other powers belong at the state level. So in order to do anything, the federal government has to find some nexus or some basis for coming to the conclusion that they're allowed to do something. And in this case, they're using their ability to regulate safety in the workplace as the argument as to why they're allowed to do this. And that's why it's landing on employers' shoulders. It's because it's something that the federal government is allowed to do, or something that the federal government believes they're allowed to do. And that's what this court case is really about, is does the federal government actually have this power? So right now it's in the Fifth Circuit. There's also cases in other places in the country. As I mentioned earlier, it's probably going to get to the Supreme Court. But ultimately, the issue at play is, can the federal government do this? And the reason that we're in this, you know, in this boat as opposed to a different version, like a federal vaccine mandate, is the federal government doesn't have the power under the United States Constitution to say everybody has to get vaccinated.
Got it. How interesting. Okay. So...
Law school moment, sorry.
No, not at all. That's totally fascinating. Okay. So the government does not clearly have the power to say all the citizens of the United States of America must be vaccinated. It's legally enforceable. So they looked at the different mechanisms potentially available or avenues to get as many people vaccinated. And they said, okay, you know, a really large chunk of the American population is employed at an organization that has 100 or more employees. Can we mandate it that way? And they've decided that the answer to that question is yes. And now that's going to be adjudicated, potentially all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Exactly. And there's another one. The other vaccine mandate is for healthcare providers and government contractors. That mandate is based on federal funding. So those two are about, basically the federal government is saying federal contractors or people who get lots of money through Medicare, we're just not going to pay you any money unless you make all your employees get vaccinated.
So that's also going through the OSHA route, or this is separate?
That's separate from OSHA. That's just another vaccine mandate that's in place. That governs anybody who works for any company that gets federal dollars through federal contracting. It's more complicated than that, but go with it. Or anybody who gets any dollars through Medicare.
Wow. Okay.
Basically what they said is, employers, we're just not going to pay you unless you do this.
Got it. Okay. And has that gone into effect?
It's going to go into effect on the same timeline as the OSHA stuff at this point.
So that could also be challenged.
It could be. I think that one's probably a little stronger from a legal standpoint. It'll be interesting to see how all of this plays out in the court.
Got it. Okay. Interesting. Huh. So in just the last couple of minutes that we have, your advice or quick counsel to employers, to HR folks who are listening to this?
You don't have time to wait and see what happens in the courts, unfortunately. So it's really, really important that you prepare to do this. I can't sit here and tell you for sure one way or the other if this is ever going to go into effect. But what I can tell you is right now it's sort of the middle of November. We have a holiday, one that comes every year at the end of November coming up. And the compliance deadline, the first compliance deadline under this rule is December 6th. So whether this ultimately goes into effect or not is a question mark, but you gotta be working on this right now. There's really just no other choice. There's really significant penalties for not doing this on the order of a little over $13,000 per violation. This could be every employee in this case, or $136,000 per willful violation if you just ignore the thing. So whether you like it or not, and whether you think the courts are going to do it or not, or stop it or not, please, please, please be planning.
Nice. All right. And to get resources for how in the world to actually make that happen, where can they get that? I want shameless plugs.
You want shameless plugs. Okay. Well, shameless plug for myself. We are MZQ Consulting, and we're available at mzqconsulting.com. We've got resources for all sorts of employee benefits, compliance, related news there. Less shameless but equally helpful is there's a lot of materials on the OSHA website for this. And, you know, there's a policy requirement and a notice requirement, and the federal government did put out resources on that for employers. So another good place to go during this.
Yeah, I don't know very much about what the OSHA website looks like, but I bet that they're awesome at policy requirements and notice requirements. So,
you know, it's their wheelhouse, that's for sure.
I love it. Well, Jen, thank you so much for coming on. Give us the website one more time.
It is MZQ, like Mary Zebra Queen, MZQConsulting.com.
Love it. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Jen your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to mzqconsulting.com and check out the great resources that Jen and her firm have to offer. And I think that we will try to get this show out ASAP. So we will just wait to see what happens. But even moving forward, whether it goes through or it doesn't, just knowing where you can find great resources is always a helpful thing. Thanks again, Jen.
Thank you.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight. We are all in this together.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Behind the delivery trucks that keep your life stocked, thousands of employees at BP go to work every day. People bringing a new offshore production platform online. People making our refineries capable of more, like making renewable diesel from agricultural waste. People trading and shipping fuels to our customers. And people helping truckers fill up and get maintenance at our convenient locations. They're part of almost 300,000 jobs BP supports across the country. Learn more at bp.com/investing in America.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.